Welcome to Spielin' and Dealin', the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. I am Kyle Sandy, the owner of sandyspiel.com, and we have a lot of fun stuff going on since we are in the region tournaments, state playoffs right around the corner, and with me to break it all down, as always, is my producer and moderator of the podcast, Ramin Forgani. Ramin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well today, Kyle. How are you?
We're having fun. It's been a lot of sleepless nights, but it's for a good cause with state playoffs right around the corner, like I just said, and region tournaments are revving up. We're in about the semifinal stage, and we got finals coming up on about Friday and Saturday for all these regions. So we are about to get those state brackets filled out and have the seedings all determined. So I am ready and raring to go.
Yes, sir. I am also. So let's dive straight into it. I know there's some important news coming from around GHSA, and I'm hearing some rumors coming out of the Wheeler area in that region. Do you know anything about that, Kyle?
I have heard some things, so do not shoot the messenger, but I have heard some things. I have heard things aren't going as planned. They are Wheeler, they are 18-7 overall. They were number two to open the season in the entire nation, but they have fallen to the third seed in their region. All right, so that's what's going on the court. They're a great team, but they haven't lived up to their billing. But now I'm hearing that there's been some issues with the coaching staff, and there might have been an altercation involving a parent, I believe, and a head coach over at Wheeler. So just what I'm hearing, when you saw Pebblebrook play Wheeler on ESPNU, a certain man with a lot of state championship rings was not on the sideline. I've been hearing there's been some health problems over there, which is very well probably true. But I've also heard there might have been a fracas involving a parent, and that might have led to another reason why a so-called, well, not a so-called, but a state championship head coach was not on the sidelines for the Wheeler Wildcats. So that's something that keep an eye on. There's been some strife, you know, some issues with gelling together and everything, but I'm here now also. There might have been a parent involved, and things aren't going as smoothly as you would think when all these superstars align and everything's supposed to just roll the ball out and get a state championship. Everything is not going as perfectly as possible, but that's just what I've heard from a couple sources. Again, I'm just trying to put the information out there. There could be some stuff going on at Wheeler, so that's something to really keep an eye on as we move into the state tournament.
And now is not the right time to be starting to have issues, now worse than ever. But over in the girls' side of Class 6A, Winder Barrow, the number two ranked team in Class 6A, they have also run into a little obstacle.
Yes, this is another one where I've heard Olivia Nelson-Odella, about 6'4", junior, number one ranked player in the entire nation in the class of 2018. She went down with an injury against Gainesville in a 60-56 win that was on January 31st. I do not believe she has played since. They are fearing that she might be out for the season, possibly an ACL, possibly just a bad sprain. Who knows? Maybe we're just overreacting and she'll be back for the state tournament, but if not, if Olivia Nelson-Odella is out for the state tournament with a severe injury, which they are fearing over there at Winder Barrow, that will change the picture of Class 6A in a major way. That would be something that Harrison, Douglas County, Northview, Lovejoy, Mays, Grovetown, those top teams would really benefit from. You hate to see injuries late, but there was an injury. I'm not sure exactly how severe it is, but there are some rumors. They are fearing that Nelson-Odella is indeed out for the season. So that is another something to really keep your eye on in the region tournaments and state tournaments. Winder Barrow, if they're at full strength, they're as good as it gets. If she's not there, a dominant player, the number one ranked player in the nation, if she's not there, that will really hurt the Bulldogs.
And do you think the Bulldogs will be able to recover from this and still make a run in the state if they do not have Nelson-Odella?
They have a lot of good guards. They have a good head coach over there. They have a lot of talent. So she's just the centerpiece. She really is a straw that stirs the drink. But Winder Barrow is very good. I mean, they'll be a favorite to make the state championship if she's healthy. If she's not healthy, still Elite Eight, Final Four, more than doable for Winder Barrow. So if she's out, I'm, you know, that hurts them a lot, but they are still a very talented team that I would not be surprised to see them in the Final Four. And even with the right bounce of the ball, they're good enough to be in the state championship again.
Well, those are two very big pieces of news that came out of GHSA. And as we wrapped up last week's podcast, I kind of mentioned that come tournament time, things are about to get crazy. In RSCC, we're starting off the podcast with some breaking news. Now we'll flip it over to your boys' rankings. I know these are the last rankings, but they are the pre-region rankings, the last ones before the region tournament. And we'll go right into Class 7A, where the Wheeler-Pebblebrook game was on ESPNU.
Yes, indeed it was. Pebblebrook, they jumped out early on Wheeler. They were up 24-9 at the end of the first quarter. Wheeler was, you know, down 35-17, I believe, at one point. But Wheeler started to turn it around. I believe that was Coach Mario Mays, who was manning the head coaching job with the official head coach dealing with some issues over there. But they came back. They forced overtime, I believe. I want to say they forced it to overtime. And Drew Drennan hit a game-winning three with about a second left to give Pebblebrook a huge 76-75 win, swept the Wheeler Wildcats. And this was, again, without Colin Sexton going to Alabama, prolific scorer, five-star guard. He's been dealing with a concussion and a little dinged up there, so they're being precautionary. And they sat out Sexton, and they still came with a big win, and that's what swept Wheeler and dropped Wheeler to 7-3 in Region 2, and they have the three seed, but I mean, it's not hard to tell. They're the most dangerous three seed in the entire state, probably the entire country when it comes to region tournaments. But that was a big, big game right there. Pebblebrook manning up, Drew Drennan with a big three, shocking Wheeler at Wheeler. Great game for the Falcons.
And over down to Class 6A, South Paulding is the new number one in otherwise quiet 6A. The queue is kind of leaping up, but there's not a lot of talk about 6A on the boys' side of the ball.
Yeah, South Paulding, actually, they've been holding on to that number one seed for a while now. It's been quiet. See, that's how quiet it's been, Ramin. You didn't even notice that South Paulding's been the number one seed for about 5 weeks now. That's how quiet it's been. But, I mean, geez, keep an eye on number two Gainesville. They're as good as it gets as well. But yeah, we mentioned DeCoola. They jumped in there now. They are number six. They've been climbing their way back up there. They opened up in the top 10, kind of dropped out. But they've played Gainesville really tough in Region 8. They got Mikhail Bethea, a great point guard who's really starting to turn things around. He's a underclassman who's played very well for them. He's very mature for his age, only a sophomore. He does great things. Justin Goodson, another dangerous scorer on the perimeter. And Arusha Hunter does some nice things at the wing as well. So DeCoola, very battle-tested. They have some good guards. They move up after Richmond Hill and Alpharetta both kind of struggled. Richmond Hill lost 71-56 to Brunswick. And then just yesterday in their region tournament, they were upset by Effingham County, 59-47. So they're now playing for a 3-4 seed. And then you're looking at Alpharetta. They got upset in a wild, wild one, 51-48 against Northview. That was very interesting to see. And then that resulted in, I wouldn't say a hangover, but 61-57, they fought out a tough victory in Region 7 over Centennial. I was able to catch the fourth quarter for that game. That was a scary, scary close call. Centennial beat them earlier in the season, so Centennial finds a way to play Alpharetta well. But with all that, DeCoola moves up, and then South Paulding, number one team. I watched them win at Alexander 58-46 and in front of a raucous crowd. Great, great, great fan base. South Paulding has just handled their business all year long. Kane Williams going to Georgia State, 21 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He did everything the Spartans needed, and they have a tough road ahead. They have a very good region tournament, Region 5, which they're trying to make hay and get into the state tournament and get a good seed there. If they come away with the number one seed out of that region, that is as battle tested as it gets. South Paulding, they have to play a very scrappy Mays team now coming up, and then if they take care of business, they'll likely play. It's either between Lanks and Hughes and Tri-City. So that's a great region to keep an eye on. And Alexander, who South Paulding beat recently, Alexander got upset by Tri-City's 56-54 the other night. And so Alexander, who's been in the top 10 for a lot of the season, they're not even going to make the state tournament. So that's how wild that Region 5 is.
Indeed. We'll keep it moving right along. Not a lot to talk about the boys' rankings. So everyone looks ahead to tourney time. There are a few new teams that are making their debut, Grayson Sneak in there, Alatoona in the attempt seat of 7A and 6A respectively. But now, if ever, the right time to be making your debut on the rankings.
Yeah, Grayson, they finally crack in. I believe this is their first time all season long, but that's a team I've had an eye on. They play in a top-heavy region. Shiloh's been a bit of a disappointment, but it's still a tough region. Grayson's played some good teams out of the region, but they are they beat Shiloh 46-37 the night after Shiloh upset Newton and dropped Newton from undefeated to number two in the polls, 68-57. So they came back the very next night, and they held Shiloh to just 37 points with a big win out there in Region 8 in Class 7A. So Grayson slides in at number 10. Travis Anderson, junior guard, he can fill it up. He was a first-team all-region performer. He's averaging over 20 points a game. When he gets hot, he's as good as a scoring guard as there is in the classification. You got Nick Edwards, does a lot of good things for Coach Jeffrey Pierce. Inside two twin towers, you got to really keep an eye on sophomore Kenyon Jackson, big guy, 6'6", shot-blocking machine, and then Gerald Buncombe, moved in the offseason. He provides them some bounce and some toughness inside. So you got two guys about 6'6", blocking shots and rebounding. And then you got nice pieces like Justin Fleming, Jarrell Green, Joey Chavez. A lot of stuff to work with right there for Coach Jeffrey Pierce. And if you want to look at Alatoona, we're used to seeing those guys in the state championship the past 2 years, two heartbreaking losses. They graduated a lot from last year's team. They still have Trey Dooms, and they're starting to get it going. They never play the sexiest basketball. That's a Marcus Hood coach team, all about defense, all about toughness, all about getting the job done no matter what it takes. They've won 9 straight games now in Region 6, and they look like they were dead in the water after they were swept by South Cobb, but all of a sudden they get the number one seed in the region. The region tournament's at Alatoona, so they have a lot of good stuff going their way right now. Mike Johnson has provided a scoring touch, and then TJ Goodrum has really come on strong this year, and he's provided that third option to really help out the Buccaneers. So Alatoona, they are ranked number 10. They just climb in their 16-8 record, but that defense and that winning mentality and just finding ways to grind teams out, that bodes very well in the region tournament and the state tournament. And if they come away with the number one seed somehow out of that region, that's a team you're not going to want to see come state tournament time, because they are going to make you earn every single basket you try and put in that basket.
And we'll keep it moving along. You know, I was looking at the region tournament brackets and masters course you had up on your website, sandyfield.com, and I was just trying to figure out, you know, we can't possibly cover every tournament game, but one thing I did find interesting going through there, Class A Region 5 shaking up pretty interesting their tournament. Number 3 ranked team in Class A Pace, and the number 7 ranked team, Cedar Grove, both in that region, they both squeaked by 55-51 against Lovett and 39-34 over Westminster, respectively. They're playing some close hard-fought games against teams of a lower caliber, supposedly.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Cedar Grove is been very good this year. Devin Barnes, Jamari Dean, they do a lot of good things. Coach Patrick has slid in there as a new head coach in the middle of the season for the most part, kind of took over. I wouldn't say middle of the season, kind of early. That was kind of an unexpected move. He's been coaching them up pretty well. That was a close game against Westminster, low-scoring game. And even for Pace, when they beat Lovett 55-51, wins are tough to come by in that region. I mean, you got Cedar Grove and Pace, of course, as the two lead dogs. Cedar Grove beat Pace earlier in the season when Wendell Carter wasn't there, so it's kind of a big asterisk right there. But it's going to be a good championship game between Pace and Cedar Grove. Cedar Grove, they're going to try to attack with their guards and use their athleticism to try and negate Wendell Carter and Isaiah Kelly and try and put some pressure on Pace's guards to defend. So that's a good championship game to watch out for in Region 5.
Over on the girls' side in Class 7A, Region 5 is always a tough region. It's the Forsyth County teams plus Milton, and it looks like the championship is shaping up to be Lambert versus North Forsyth again. They have a long history over there.
Yeah, that's great that these two teams are meeting. Coach Herrick does a very great job over there at North Forsyth. They're always tough. They're 20-6 right now. And then you look at number 6 ranked Lambert, who's sitting at 23-2. They've had a phenomenal season. And when these two teams have met, there's been fireworks. Lambert swept the season series, but it was 46-40 and then 39-37. So both games were very close, tightly contested. Lambert does a lot of good things with Jayla Green, Emmy Craven. We got Leah Cote, Molly Williams, Summer Edwards has done some nice things on the perimeter, and North Forsyth, they really answer back with Casey Markle, a 5'10 junior post, and then Caroline Martin, 5'8 freshman guard, who has really provided a spark this season. And that's why the Raiders and the Longhorns will be meeting in the region championship. That's going to be a good one. I expect it to be coming down to the final minute, as always, between these two great programs in Forsyth County.
Yeah, you know, watching them and knowing the history of them being in their region for the previous 2 years here at Northview, North Forsyth is always able to put out a deep rotation, really well-coached team by Coach Eric. And last year, some of these younger guards you mentioned, Summer Edwards and Emmy Craven, guard play from Lambert was really developing nicely, so that'll be a good matchup. Over into 4A, Region 1 is loaded. Three top-ranked teams, Carver, Columbus, and America Sumter.
Yes, sir. America Sumter quietly is the defending state champion in Class 4A. Good team. Lost a lot via graduation, but Tamia Swanson has really picked up the load, the senior. 18.6 points, over 11 rebounds, and over 5 steals a game. America Sumter is sitting at 23-3. They are ranked number 2 in the state. And then you got number 5 Columbus, who is preseason number 1. They have some great size. It's going to be tough to combat. You got Tatiana Wyatt going to Kentucky. She's averaging about 21.6 rebounds a game. You got Ariah Copeland going to Alabama, another bruiser inside, about 16 points, over 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks a game. So, that, I mean, that's as good as it gets. You got two post players slash, I mean, Wyatt kind of plays on the wing. She does a lot of versatile things out there. She's a forward, but she's over 6 foot. You got two girls going to the SEC in Class 4A, and this isn't Class A private. This isn't Class 7A. This is Class 4A. That bodes, you know, that's huge when you got that kind of size and that kind of talent to throw out there. And then number 8, Carver Columbus, a very balanced attack. Two juniors, Alicia Reese, and then also Mariah Igus lead the team in scoring, and they have a sophomore that comes in at third. So that's a team, if it's not this year, next year, Carver Columbus, very talented girls team. So that is a very fun region to keep an eye on. Don't be surprised if one of those teams, maybe even two of those teams, find a way into the Final Four when we come rolling into March. There's some good basketball being played over in the Columbus area.
And now we're right in the middle of state tournament time, and there are a lot of different tournament brackets. Each region has a region meeting in the, depending on what sport, you know, I believe our region 7 of 6A was in the, March, and they decide how they want to advance their playoff teams, or how they want to advance teams to state playoff. Each team kind of makes their own bracket. What do you think is the best bracket?
Oh boy, well, I know one thing that a lot of coaches would kind of like to see change. Sometimes it's one-and-done business when you don't have an automatic state bid. I know that's something you wanted to talk about, especially in your region. You play 16 region games. You go 16-0 in the region, but if you slip up and something happens, like nearly happened with Alpharetta the other night, the boys' team, they only lose, what, 1-2 games in the region, so they win it by a large margin. But you trip up and something happens, and especially if you're looking at even the Northview girls, when they go undefeated, if something happens and you don't, you know, you just don't play well, something happens, someone gets hot for the other team, you go undefeated in the regular season and have nothing to show for it and not even make the state tournament. That's something that would really hurt. That would be something like Westminster last year. The Westminster boys were 22-2. Going into their tournament, they were upset by Maynard Jackson, who was around 500. You finish the season 22-3, and you don't even get to go to the state playoffs. That was a crazy, crazy scenario right there. And luckily, so far this season, there hasn't been anything too wild like that. I don't think off the top of my head. I mean, Alexander not making it is tough for the boys' side, but that is a crazy region in Region 5. Tri-Cities is always dangerous. All those teams are very dangerous. But, yeah, it would be nice to see, especially when you're playing teams twice and you're playing about 16 region games, if you win it outright by a wide margin or just win it at all, it would be nice to see them get that automatic state tournament bid to really protect themselves from falling away. But, hey, that's the great thing about the region tournaments. Roll the ball out. You never know what happens. Everyone's playing for those 4 spots. hey, you could win five games all season long and find a way into the state tournament if you put it together on one great night. So that's what makes basketball so exciting, is you can never really know what's going to happen until the ball's tipped up and you see what the players do on the court.
All right. How much do you think the importance of a bye or not playing a back-to-back is, especially in these region tournaments? You know, some of these brackets have a more traditional, you know, you have eight teams, everybody, the one with the eight, two with the seven, three with the six, four with five, so on. But, you know, we're talking about some of these other brackets that are automatically advanced to one, and you have, you know, different modified things, like the first two teams get a bye, the quarters, and the number one team gets a bye, the semis, or the quarters, and the other two get a first round bye. How important is playing less games?
Well, I don't think it really matters that much. I mean, of course, you want to bye. If you're number one or number two seed, you want to be as far advanced into that region tournament bracket as possible so you can protect yourself from those crazy upsets. And hopefully you do have a state automatic bid already wrapped up. But as far as playing back-to-back games or whatever, three games in 4 days, however it can shake up, I mean, all these players are used to it, boys and girls. They play year-round AAU tournaments. You're playing three games in a single day, it shouldn't really matter. And I would think coaches, they would like, you know, a day or two of rest, but for the most part, you don't want to be off for a week or, you know, 9 days, and then you haven't played in a while and you're a little rusty, even though you are that number one seed and you're playing someone you should beat. You want to kind of keep that momentum rolling. You don't want to take off too long, and that builds up some rust and you got to clean stuff out. So you want to be clicking on all cylinders when you get into the region tournament. So that's one thing I don't really, you know, as long as you're playing your good basketball and you haven't had too much of a layoff, or on the other side, if you're playing three games in 4 days, that sometimes hurts, but these kids are used to it. And that's what leads to such great tournaments and such madness across the state.
We've covered a lot of regions, a lot of teams on the podcast the past couple of weeks, but right now in region tournament time, we're kind of getting to the point where most regions have put forth their region qualifiers. Who do you think, or which team from which region do you think will put forth the most prepared teams?
Boy, oh boy. Well, we just talked about that region one, I believe it is, in 4A, that girls' side, America Sumter, Columbus, Carver. That is going to be a very battle-tested region. We talked about region 5 and class 6A with the boys. Tri-Cities is in there now, Langston Hughes, South Paulding, Mays is going to be probably cracking their way as well. So those teams are going to be very battle-tested. Obviously, Region 2 in Class 7A, Wheeler, Pebblebrook, Westlake, that's as good as it gets. And even I want to talk about Region 1 on Class 4A for the boys' side as well. That's also a very interesting one to keep an eye on. You got America Sumter, you got Shaw, you got Carver Columbus, you got Westover. Westover was ranked to open up the season. They've been, you know, a little bit of a roller coaster ride, but they're a very dangerous team with good guard play. Carver Columbus, very good as well, and America Sumter, they find ways to win games. And Shaw has been playing pretty well down the stretch as well. So there's a lot of good regions out there. One region I really do like over there is in Class 6A, and that is with the South Georgia regions over there in Glen Academy and that type area. So that's looking at Effingham County, who was a number 4 seed. They upset number 1 seed Richmond Hill the other day, 59-47. So now they're playing for a championship spot, that number 1 seed, and they're playing against 3rd seed Brunswick, who's starting to turn things around. They had a little bit of a lull in the later part of the season, but Brunswick erased Glen Academy 65-61, so now it's number 3 Brunswick versus number 4 Effingham County in the championship in that consolation bracket. It's number 2 Glen Academy and number 1 Richmond Hill. I like all 4 of those teams. Whoever they match up with in the first round, they're going to give them some problems, because all those teams, you know, you look at Brunswick, College of Charleston signing Kamani Dunham, 6'8", can't move them off the block, and they have Daquan Humphreys. They got some good guard play over there. Lampkin is a good player as well. Glen Academy, they have Duran Green, who can score the ball. Effingham County has a lot of good pieces as well. And then Richmond Hill, Bumpers, Trey DeLoach, a lot of good players over there. So that southeast bracket over there on the coast of Savannah, a lot of talented teams coming out of there. Keep an eye on those guys.
Good stuff. And now we'll start looking at what could be interesting matchups come Friday, Saturday, championship time. First in Class 7 is the number 7 ranked Colquitt County girls. They played for the first time on Friday, it looks like. That's a long break in a small region.
Yeah, they have a dynamic duo going on over there. I think they're the team to beat. I don't see why they're not the team to beat in that region over there in Region 1. I've heard some other people not quite agree with me, but I like what they're doing over there at Colquitt County. Two juniors, Zanotica Downs. She can shoot the ball. She can stretch the floor. She's a big-time scorer, 23 points per game, almost 7 rebounds, and almost 5 steals a game. She does a lot of nice pieces. And then you got another junior, Diamond Hull, over 18 points, over 10 rebounds. And, again, she collects steals at 4 a game. That is a big-time combination right there. And they'll likely match up with Tift County, who spent a little bit of time in the polls but dropped out. Tift County beat Colquitt, gave them their only region loss of the year early in the season, 56-53 in overtime. But their second meeting in late January, Colquitt turned the tables on them, and they took it to them, 62-27. So I do really like the Packers coming out of South Georgia. They got some good momentum, two big-time scorers that can carry the load for them. That's a team to keep an eye on. Don't sleep on them just because they're not in the Gwinnett, they're not in the Fulton, they're not in the DeKalb County area. That's a good team down there in South Georgia.
And over in 6A Region 3, the championship looks like taking up the Heritage Conyers versus Lakeside Evans.
Yeah, if they take care of business, both those teams, they are going to lock horns for a third time. I was there the first time when Lakeside really made their presence be known. They established themselves as a contender or a team to at least be very wary of in Class 6A. They went to Heritage Conyers, which is a far drive when you're considering you're coming from Evans County and over there in Augusta, it's a long trip over there. 62-58, they beat them the first time. Deion Berrien hit a wild three at the buzzer to send it into overtime, and that really just zapped Heritage, the Patriots, of all their, you know, all their spirit right there. They thought they had that game won in a nip and tuck game, and then Deion Berrien throws in a three at the buzzer, and then Lakeside was able to take care of business in overtime. Berrien had 18 points and 10 rebounds. Kalen Williams, he gets a little dribble happily. They said he's a dribbler, a dribbly type of guy. He likes to pound the ball sometimes, but when he gets hot, he can really score it from beyond the arc. He had 20 points and 7 rebounds. Barry and Williams are very, very confident players. And head coach Jeffrey Williams, also a nice, confident guy. They have winning ways. They played with the Georgia Bulls over the summer, won a lot of games, and they really translated that well to Lakeside, and they ended up winning the region championship in the regular season. And then the second time they played, it was at Lakeside, and again, they turned back the Patriots. Williams with 24 points, Berrien 18 and 10 again. They won 74-71. Isaiah Banks had 26 points, Byron Abrams 19, and Jordan Thomas had 16 after scoring 25 in the first game. But that big three for Heritage wasn't enough, and Lakeside just finds they've been finding ways to win. Williams creates, gets people like Brad Hilly involved, hits him in the corner for some threes. Krayshawn Hall brings some toughness and some versatility to the front line in the backcourt. I mean, Lakeside, they don't look like too much on paper, but it is just so, so important having those winning ways and just knowing how to win tight games, which they really grew over the summer with the Georgia Bulls, and it's coming to fruition. But Heritage, they have the dogs, they have the athletes, they have the size advantage at every single position. They have some good basketball players over there. Heritage, I'm sure they really want a third crack at those guys, and again, it's probably going to be a toss-up if they meet each other in the region championship.
That sounds good, and, you know, busy time. I know you are staying up late nights trying to calculate all the scores. We have to track it up on the website. Everyone's looking forward to their own region tournaments in their respective areas. So this looks like that was my last question, but tell us who we have on 1&1. Podcast.
Oh, we have a good one. If you haven't heard about them yet, you're going to have to hear about them soon. Number 3 ranked team in Class A private, head coach Darren Douglas of the Aquinas Fighting Irish. This is his first year on the job. He has turned that program around after they had a subpar season last year. They are a dangerous team, a physical team, a lot of good pieces. Everyone's going to be back next year as well. Guys like Trey Gomillion, guys like Trent Bowdrey, guys like Jelani Shakir, a lot of names you might not know about if you're not in the Richmond County area. But, boy, those guys can play. They're tough, and they are the master of the second half adjustments. They come out and they really stick it to you in the second half. So that's a great interview coming up with Coach Darren Douglas. I want to thank him for coming on, and hopefully you'll learn about Aquinas. That's a team come state tournament time. You're going to want to keep an eye on those guys because those are some junkyard dogs over there in Augusta.
All righty. Make sure to be checking sandyfield.com frequently for all the best news in Gator State basketball. And check back with us next Thursday for the next installment of Feeling and Dealing, the Georgia High School Basketball Podcast. We'll be Pergani here.
And this is Kyle Sandy, sandyspiel.com. We will likely have a February frenzy bracket contest like we had last year, so just keep that in mind. I'll put out the information as we get closer to the dates of the state tournament, but thank you for joining us, and again, check sandyspiel.com with the master schedule of all the boys' games in the state and all the girls' games of region tournaments. I'll be on my laptop, and I'll be grinding it out for you, giving you up-to-date live score updates throughout the region tournament. So thank you for joining us, and we will see you next week. Step on to the hardwood. It's time for some one-on-one. This week, we welcome Coach Darren Douglas of the Class A private number 3 ranked Aquinas Fighting Irish. Douglas has built Aquinas into a state contender in his first season on the job. The Irish are 23-1 and haven't lost a game in the state of Georgia. They are currently ranked 5th in the Class A private power ratings and will play First Presbyterian Day in the Region 7 semifinals on Friday. Coach, how are you, sir? Thank you for joining us.
Doing pretty good. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. So let's jump right into it. What was the first thing you did when you first became head coach at Aquinas in order to rebuild this program and get it to where it is right now?
Just to backtrack, I had an idea. Like, they were kind of grumbling. Like, they may give me the job last year around about January. So what I did was I went to pretty much all their home games, a couple of away games, and I kind of, you know, took notes about stuff that I would want to do once I got the program. And what I seen was I knew their bodies need to get better. So once I formally got it in June, we went to the weight room. We did a lot of skill stuff every day, and just really tried to build a sense of hard work in those guys and just let them know, like, you know, it's not good enough just coming to practice and coming to games. If you want to be serious about basketball, you really have to work it. You got to work out. You got to get up extra shots. You got to, you know, just basically putting work ethic in those guys. And they all bought in. You know, I thought it would be harder than what it was, but they kind of took to it like a sponge. And so now it's almost on autopilot. Like, they do it on their own now.
And how do you feel about this whole power rating system? I know it's you can love it, you can manipulate the system, but sometimes it kind of doesn't get the job done. But how do you really feel about the power rating system and how the state playoffs are all determined as far as seeding goes?
It's still kind of, I can get it. I'm not that great at math. So, looking at it, I don't want to take any credit from any of those teams that are higher, but, you know, you would think that Green Forest is one just by looking at them play. And maybe, you know, North Cobb, maybe two and things of that nature. Almost similar to your ranking, but if it's just for seeding, you know, you kind of just use it and seed, and the cream's always going to rise to the top at the end anyway. So as long as you get and you focus and do what you need to do playing, you're going to be fine regardless of the power rating.
And your team, it looks like they've really hung their hat, and their calling card has been their defense. It looks like you're allowing about 37.9 points per game. Do you think that your team and your defense will be as dominant as it has been in region play when you face better competition in the state playoffs?
I don't know if it'll be a 37 point a game defense, but, you know, I think we can still hold teams to under 50. I think we can hold anybody to under 50 or right at 50. And that's a good number. We average 66. And I remember when I first got to Georgia and I went to a coach's clinic and I watched Sharman White, and his big thing was that he said, you know, they practice defense so much because, you know, if you can't score and the other team can't score, all you'll get is a tie. But if you can score and the other team can score, you know, it's kind of left up to chance. So I've always, any team I've coached or been around, it's always been about defense. We work on defense probably an hour, 15 minutes every day, every day.
And do you feel like you guys are kind of a dark horse, considering that most of those other top Class A private schools are in the somewhat of the Metro Atlanta area, and you guys are coming from Augusta, and really no one has really ever seen you guys play? They're not really too sure what you guys have. Do you feel like you guys are a dark horse, and could that kind of work to your advantage as we head into the state playoffs?
Yeah, I feel that we are, you know, and then we got to think we're coaching 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, and if you're not preaching them to be focused, you know, they can look at Max Preps or look at this and say, oh, well, those guys, they don't play anybody from up here, so they're not good, and just that. And so, you know, you get out there and play. I think we can play with anybody, and it's just basically just off the defense and doing all the little stuff that we do, trying to focus on having everybody boxed down. When somebody's shooting a jump shot, you want to, you know, we try to tell our guys to contest it like it's, we're up by two and it's the last 5 seconds of the game, no matter what time it is in the game. And when you do that kind of stuff, you know, when you just preach the process over the results, 95% of the time it's going to shake out in your favor anyway. But to answer your question, I do think we're a dark horse at least, you know, for another week or so until everything really gets going.
Coach, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, spieling and dealing, stepping on the hardwood with me for some good old-fashioned one-on-one. I know a lot of people, if they're not aware of what Aquinas is doing out in Augusta, they're going to be aware of it very soon. You guys are in the semifinals of Region 7 right now, and you have a great shot at getting a great seed heading into the state tournament. So, Coach, thank you for joining us, and great season so far, and good luck the rest of the way, sir.
Okay, thank you guys for having me.